Our scripture lesson today is found in the 11th chapter of Matthew. I will be reading verses 2 through 19. Listen now for God's word for you in this reading. When John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal palaces. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, no one has risen greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John came. And if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. Let anyone with ears listen. But to what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another. 'We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn.' For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he was a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God."
Before I begin the sermon, I want to remind you that next Sunday we will be having a service of lessons and carols during our Sunday morning worship. This will be a service of scripture readings and singing Christmas carols and special music. So please, we invite you to be here for that special service. And this is a great opportunity for you to invite your neighbors, your family, your friends to come and worship with us as we celebrate the season in a service of lessons and carols. It's been nearly 10 years since a man played a violin during a weekday morning rush hour in Washington, D.C. at the LaFont Plaza metro station. Now, this is not an uncommon sight, especially in urban areas, for street musicians to play on street corners and in subway stations and at bus stops and in shopping malls and shopping centers. We see musicians playing and they have their cases or baskets in front of them to accept donations. Well, on this particular occasion, according to the Washington Post, this musician played six classical pieces as nearly 2,000 people passed by that morning, a few actually pausing to long enough to toss some change into his open violin case, which eventually amounted to $40. Now, 3 days earlier, this musician at the metro station had filled Boston's Symphony Hall, where the cheap seats were $100 each. He was concert violinist Joshua Bell, playing his 1713 Stradivari, valued at $3.5 million. The Post article said, "The fiddler, standing against a bare wall outside the Metro, was one of the finest classical musicians in the world, playing some of the most elegant music ever written on one of the most valuable violins ever made." And Bell had approached the Washington Post with his little experiment just to see how and if people would react. Now, one blogger observed, "If we do not have a moment to stop and listen to one of the best musicians in the world playing the best music ever written, how many other things are we missing?" There's a scene in a movie, a Sherlock Holmes movie. It's the one with Robert Downey Jr. in it. Came out a few years ago. And there's a scene where Holmes is dancing at this tension-filled party, and his dance partner asks, "What do you see?" And he says, "Everything." Well, unlike Holmes, we can't see everything. As a matter of fact, there's a lot more going on around us that we can't see than the things that we do see. Modern physics tells us that the light visible to humans is but a fraction of the entire electromagnetic spectrum of radio, micro, infrared, ultraviolet, X, and gamma rays. All those things are going on right now. And even within the narrow band of visible light, there is seemingly endless possibility of perception. Yet we seem to be predisposed to see that which we expect to see. And so it follows that our ingrained assumptions and expectations continually shape the world we see and experience. Today's scripture reading is about expectation and assumption. And since Advent is a season of anticipation and expectation, John the Baptist's question to Jesus and Jesus' question regarding John the Baptist, these questions are appropriate. Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another? What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? In other words, who and what did you expect? But first, we need to ask, what did you assume? Now, we know from John the Baptist, we talked some about John last week, but we know from his own words that he assumes that this one who is to come, the Messiah, will do certain things. Or as he put it, will bear fruit worthy of repentance. And he draws these assumptions of the Messiah directly from the prophet Isaiah. Now Jesus, we know, was present to hear John's proclamation. He was there when John was saying this because he was baptized immediately following this. Some people propose that Jesus may have even heard his calling, there on the banks of the Jordan. And Jesus' response to John's disciples when they come to him asking, "Are you the one?" His response is a thinly veiled response that is actually code language, because what he does is he simply quotes Isaiah right back at John. He's basically saying, "Remember the things you were saying on the Jordan that day? What do you see and what do you hear? Go tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. And the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." Go tell John this is what you see and what you hear. Because this is the same thing he's been preaching out there in the wilderness. And then he turns to John's other followers, who by now have become his followers because John is in prison. And he asks this crowd a series of questions. He said, "What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal palaces. What then did you go out to see? A prophet?" All of this can be summed up with, "Who and what did you expect?" The people expected something else, because they assumed that the one to come would be a Messiah or a Savior, more like David, a military leader to defeat Rome. Because of these assumptions, they expected both John and Jesus to restore the distant halcyon days of David and Solomon. To use a contemporary phrase, they expected John and Jesus to make Israel great again. And another assumption is that this Messiah would do it for them. So never in their wildest dreams did they expect the likes of John and Jesus, who tell them that they are the ones who have to change. They are the ones that have to repent. Jesus tells the people they are like children. Like children playing games while the world unravels around them. It makes one wonder if Jesus is not asking us the same questions this Advent. What do we assume and what do we expect? What do we see and what do we hear? What games are we playing while hundreds of thousands of people are killed and displaced by war, while natural resources are depleted and abused, while our habitat, the earth, is gradually yet increasingly being destroyed by our own actions, while religion is self-serving instead of life-changing service to others? While we rush through subways, along highways, in airports of our lives, Jesus plays the violin, but we do not dance. John cries out, Repent. Open your eyes. Yet we do not mourn. We assume that all will be well without our having to do anything. And Jesus comes asking, what do you expect? Who did you expect? Advent is a season of assumption and expectation, reminding us that unexamined assumptions will most likely lead to false expectations. However, examining our assumptions by opening our eyes to see and our ears to hear leads to repentance, to changed hearts and clear expectations, not of someone else, but of ourselves. Amen. Our charge this morning comes from author Annie Dillard. I normally read this on Pentecost, but I think that the coming, whether it be God, whether it be Jesus, God the Father, God the Son, or God the Holy Spirit, it's all God. That's good Trinitarian theology, by the way. You start trying to separate them out and you're going somewhere else. It's all God. Annie Dillard says, on the whole, I do not find Christians outside of the catacombs. Now, that little phrase means Christians after the first century. I do not find Christians outside of the catacombs sufficiently sensible of conditions. Does anyone have the foggiest idea what sort of power we so blithely invoke? Or, as I suspect, does no one believe a word of it? The churches are like children playing on the floor with their chemistry sets, mixing up a batch of TNT to kill a Sunday morning. It is madness to wear ladies' straw hats and velvet hats to church. We should be wearing crash helmets. Ushers should issue life preservers and signal flares. They should lash us to our pews. For the sleeping God may awake someday and take offense, or the waking God may draw us out to where we can never return. My friends, this business is serious. And the passage we heard this morning ends with a little phrase that sort of gives us a clue of where to go. It says, wisdom will be vindicated by her deeds. So let's go from this place today and let us listen and let us look and see if we don't find what Jesus expects us to find. Amen.